Get smoother, brighter skin instantly in one easy step. Dermalogica's Daily Microfoliant gives you the smooth, glowy skin you want without damaging your skin barrier. This gentle exfoliating powder activates with water to smooth out rough texture and brighten skin. It's powerful enough to deliver results, yet gentle enough to use every single day, even on sensitive skin. See the results for yourself. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at cart for an exclusive free gift with $65 purchase.
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can express yourself
in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Good day. You are listening to a podcast. But this isn't just any podcast. Just any podcast couldn't do this. Or this. What the? This is the podcast. Starring the Ted. Starring the Ted. Starring the Ted Smith and Cobb. The podcast starts. You better wear a helmet now.
Welcome back to a brand new episode of the podcast, the greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land.
I'll be your host, the Ted Smith, down there in the bottom square today. Back in Austin, he goes by the name of Cobb. Cobb, what's going on?
For F's sake, boys, it sounds like we're all taking damage in the trenches today. Matt's down with COVID. Obviously, Ted had his soccer situation, and, well, you know, I'm just just dealing with life's ups and downs. What's going on, boys?
Goddamn!
Back up there, getting everything set over the studio. Matt, Connor, the producer, MCTP. What's up, Matt?
Hey, Ted. Good to see you. You too, Cobb.
First of all, Matt, how are you doing? Again, you had the most inadvertent funny thing I've heard in forever. Like, sound bath, this and that. And then I got COVID.
Yeah. It was very funny when I went back and edited it. I heard that part. I felt pretty good after last time I saw you guys. I was already felt like I was turning a corner that night. A little bit tired on Wednesday still, but like pretty chill. And then felt good to go by Thursday. And then my girlfriend caught it. And then, you know, it was just like, yeah, it's it runs its course. But it wasn't anything too bad. You just kind of lay in bed a lot and watch a lot of TV.
Yeah. I mean, that sounds simple, but you're not exactly somebody I think of as like a homebody.
Right. It was kind of nice for me. I was like, damn, I haven't rested like this since the beginning of quarantine. That was so weird. I had the time to, but it was just like, I couldn't stop trying to figure out what the hell COVID was. And then I had it and, you know, granted I'm vaxxed, but it was, pretty not a big deal to me, felt like.
All right, you back in the game? Or have you tested negative yet?
Yeah, tested negative today.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so feeling good.
Yeah, Castle just caught it too. I was like, oh, man. I don't know. It's just so
weird.
Seems
like there's another little mini surge going right now. Like, I don't pay attention to the news at all, so I don't know if they're talking about, but it seems like a lot of people I know have had it, but including me.
Yeah, I know of a 100-person baby shower over the weekend where everybody got it. You're right.
Oh,
there's a surge.
No
way. I was supposed to be there and I missed it.
Whoa.
So,
well, I mean, that's the thing too. It's like, it seems like most people are fine. It's just a couple of days, but it's like, you still gotta basically just bow out for 5 days, which in theory sounds easy, but it's like, man, people got stuff going on or work or this and that. It's like,
yep.
Yeah, just taking 5 days off when you're not planning on it is not too simple.
Thursday and Friday sucked as bad as Monday, which was the worst day of symptoms. But Thursday and Friday, like, I felt fine. I couldn't go back to work, and my girlfriend caught it. And I was like, well, this is when it really, so like having it, just laying in bed is fine. Like taking care of someone, you know, Tyler was bringing me a bunch of stuff, then I had to bring her a bunch of stuff. And it's like, now I'm working, but you know, yeah. So it was, I felt like coming back from it and then, you know, not being able to just go back to my usual life, you know, eventually, you know, it was, that was annoying. I got restless by then. The first 3 days were a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'm with you. Like, what was I going to say? Also, real quick, how are you guys when you get sick? I'm like stereotypical guy. I'm just like, I feel like crap. Don't mess with me. Blah, blah, blah. And it's like, I'm the biggest baby when I get sick. Like a physical injury, I'm like, all right, I'll deal with it. But like, I don't know, man. If I get the flu or something, I am a pain in the butt.
Honestly, I shut down all engines to recharge the batteries. Most people try to eat really healthy when they're sick. For whatever reason, I feel better just like, you know, like crank. Wait, that's the wrong terminology. Just eating a pizza or like, you know, some burgers or whatever. And like, I just veg out, man. I actually chill when I'm sick. The problem for me is I always try to get back on the horse too quickly. I, at one point in my life, you'd be like kind of getting over being sick and you'd go for a run or a, like a long swim and it would like clear out your system. So now I always try to do that on like day two or day three and it makes me more sick. And almost without fail, I'm like, no, I'm like feeling a little better. Like, let's go for a run. And then I'm just destroyed. So that's my move.
Yeah. So I used to always do that too. And then I think I read something that was like, it's not a good idea because you're only going to feel better for like that afternoon or something, but it's going to somehow make you feel worse. I'm like, huh. All right. Well,
it is the subject of some debate because it does pump blood, oxygen, nutrients, but at the same time, it fatigues you. So it's kind of like an ice bath. Like there's, you can see both sides of whether it works or not. As far as I know, jury's out, but I still go for that run.
I waited until today to go for my first run back. I had done some pull-ups and stretching and stuff. But so that's 7 days, 8 days after the symptoms were the worst.
And there was a little bit of 10 like, of a 10 day quarantine sickness. So you came back early
it's
too.
5 days now.
Right. But I mean, come on. That's just like, you know, I mean, it was 10 days for a long time. All of a sudden you don't get sick as long. I'm just saying you were trying to make the early athletic comeback and I respect it. That's it.
I'd say it was a success. I would say it cleared out the last of whatever there, you know, you just feel, I felt awesome afterwards.
And Ted would say, don't fall asleep because that's only going to last for this evening.
I'm just kidding. I will say this. At least doing something athletic is like getting back on it. Like I remember, so I got pneumonia once when I was in high school, which was awful. But it kind of leaves you a little more susceptible to getting it again. So this was years ago. I think I was still in my 20s. I don't even think I was 30 yet. But like I said, like working out's one thing, but I was sick and then I was better for like 2 days, went back to work and then just fucking like hung out, partied all weekend and then had to go to see the doctor on like Tuesday. And he's like, yeah, you got pneumonia again. I was like, that one almost made me like, I felt worse. Cause I was like, oh, I tore down my body. It wasn't ready to be back. And then I tore it down like a dumbass. Like that one's on me.
Yeah. I did this to me.
All right. Let's talk a little bit. We need some updates. Frankly, I'm just doing this to brag on Pub League Soccer.
Let's go. Let's go. Right.
Now, we all know Corner Kick Murphy's, the team I'm on this year, is sponsored by Cobb's Gourmet Popcorn.
Who else, baby?
So first of all, our buddy Joe, the mayor, last year he was on my team. This year he's not on my team. So Cobb, randomly, I saw him Thursday night with Rowan, the other owner of Cobb's, and frankly, I was scared. Like, it's not weird that ownership of your team calls you in, but it was a good night. We hung out. And then later, I texted something, and Rowan was like, you know what sounds better? Is when you score goals and make it count. Like, all right.
Hardware. Hardware.
So, yeah, Friday night, blah, blah, blah. Saturday, went to the spring game, had a great day. Your boy's dragging ass Sunday morning. Get there, get to the field, warm up. First game. It's against Booz Azul, the mayor's team, right? So, wow.
Storied rivalry.
My buddy Sean's there. He's like, I'm just going to stay and watch. I want to see what this league's about. I'm like, all right, cool. So Joe and I are kind of giving each other crap. And then like the first half, I got two shots on goal, no pace on them. You could see Joe's confidence building. He's going to own me now. Now, unbeknownst to me, he had told his team that whatever they do today, do not let Ted Smith score. And then, Cobb, you'll like this, right? You've been to our games. You know how, we play a half field. Joe's walking by for the second half, and he's staring at me, and I just go, hey, get the fuck in your goal. Stop staring at me.
So, all
right? So it's getting salty. Play the second half. Gruber's playing well. I go back in on defense. Corner kick for our team. And I look at the ref. I go, how much time's left? And he goes, 2 minutes. And I go, all right. I look at the other defender. I go, you stay back here. I'm pushing up. Too short of time. We got to score. Corner kick comes in. Little mess in front. Ball's on the ground. Boom. I mean, I just rocket one through.
We right? want the ball. We're going to score. Classic. Right?
That's what I was like. I never would call my shot. I mean, I have a pair of white soccer, we call them boots or cleats, that I still haven't worn because I'm like, you wear white boots, you got to score. And I'm like, I'm not that good, so I'm nervous to wear them. But with Gruber, I had unreal confidence. I was like, I'm going to score on him. So we score the goal. Number one, I am not used to scoring. Look how giddy I am now telling the story. I think I was about 2 feet away from Joe, and I went, let's fucking go.
And that's the mayor for people keeping track at home.
And then Cobb, on the jog back to midfield, right? As I'm playing defense, I got to get back. I don't know how high off the ground I got, but you know the soccer where you like jump in the air and pump your arm?
Yes, dude. Yeah, the like flying uppercut.
To the point of like somebody was like, hey, that guy's really fired up about that goal.
Yeah, man. Dude, that's awesome. And of course, like getting it on one of your closest friends has got to feel good, especially after he talks all that S.
Oh, it was awesome. So we win 1-0. Joe's like, you're going to be insufferable. It's like, I am.
It's like, well, Joe, you know, if you didn't want that, you should have saved the goal. How about that?
Joe was so annoyed that I scored. He goes, technically, it scraped my head, so it's an own goal. He's willing to put down his own stats, not to give me a goal.
Wow, that's salty. That's salty. And we had been talking about a possible goal celebration for you of sprinkling popcorn that's in your pocket, but you know, maybe it's save that for the playoffs.
Right. I did do the little like, and I'm not sure anybody knows. You could see like I'm holding out my one hand, sprinkling popcorn in it. But like nobody really got that. So all right. So here's my first question. Because it's so much fun playing with him, but it was a lot of fun scoring against him. So, like, you both played a lot of sports and rec stuff. Like, what's better, playing with your buddies or playing against them?
Matt, go ahead.
Oh, man, that's a good question. I mean...
Right?
Yeah, I would have to say playing with them. I always liked being on the same team with my friends and... when I played in the hockey league, actually, one of my best friends at the time, Vince, his dad would always be the coach, and they'd do a draft in the league with all the coaches. And we played like every season, and he would just always like pick me. I mean, I would probably be a fourth or fifth rounder, and he would grab me in the third or the fourth just to be safe. Just regular. And one time he made a trade. He's like, he was my carpool to practice. So it was kind of like a logistics thing. I don't know how he pulled the strings, but I always loved playing with Vinny, and loved when we were on the same lines and loved having his dad as the coach. It was just like a fun ass dynamic. We'd all go get pizza after practice and everything. And, yeah, it was just it was a fun time. And, you know, eventually over the years, I became friends with kind of all the guys that would play a lot. And, you know, we'd all be friends, but it's like, yeah, but me and Vinny are like teammates year in, year out. Jimmy's our coach. So, yeah, we had a good time.
That's awesome. My answer is a little bit of both. I think it's the best is playing with your friends because you get, you know, a lot of you get like multiple games throughout the season and you build off each other and then multiple seasons. And of course, you know, I mean, I have one friend who I've played 26 sports seasons with. We played five different sports together. So, you know, I love that. That being said, it's also best to not play in front of a friendly crowd. It's way better to play on the road against a crowd that hates you. I feel like it's more inspiring. One, two, feels incredible if you score or do anything good in the game to like shut a crowd up. And three, I feel like you play better. Just my personal thought.
Yeah, the crowd atmosphere is a tough one because I'm with you. Like, I love playing. Like, it was always fun playing at home. But yeah, going on the road, there's something fun about being those road dogs and being like pack your place. Make it as rowdy and as loud as you can. Like, that's going to get us more fired up.
Dude, Ted, here's how we get to the bottom of this. All right, I got a hypothetical scenario for you. Okay. Ted Smith, you're sitting at your house. You're not injured like you are now. And so one of our friends plays goalie for the Sounders right now, kind of in and out. He's a buddy of Rowan's, friend of mine. He calls up and he's like, look, Smith, we're down. I've heard about your sponsorship from Cobb's Popcorn, hashtag get the good stuff. And I know that you've got some skills. We need you, but we can only use you for one of two games. You either can play at home in front of the Seattle crowd. And by the way, in this scenario, hypothetically, you know, you're going to score. You're going to be the man up front. Would you rather score Sounders home game or on the road at Portland game winning goal? Tell me.
Oh, man, that is a tough question.
Timbers fans going crazy. Ted Smith shuts him up. Or do you want, you know, the loving support of 60,000 of your own?
Man, I don't know, because it would be so nice to shut them all up. But the idea of walking out into the stadium and like in front of the ECS and being like, I'm going tonight, boys.
I know. It's like, would that fist pump feel better like in silence? I guess the whole crowd is just devastated, or, you know, as everyone's going crazy.
That's the thing too, is that like, right, you're right, because I love playing with him so much, but when I scored again, just out of spite, I was like, this is fun.
It felt better, didn't it?
Yeah, that's a good question, man. I don't know. Yeah, because you're right, like when I think about the rivalry with Portland, like the games we beat him at home are awesome, but you know, Roger Levesque has that score in like 96 seconds or whatever, and they do a celebration of Portland, you're like, that might have been better.
That's what I'm saying, man. It's tastier. It's just a little tastier, a little extra juice.
Man, that is a tough call, man. I am not sure. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Like, I guess I'd prefer he's on my team, but it was
Ted. We need an answer.
I gotta go home crowd.
Wow. All right. I respect that, dude, especially at CenturyLink or whatever they call it now. Like, that's one of the best crowds in soccer.
Well, I think there was an argument the first couple of years with the Sounders that the support was so good that it was firing up the other teams and they were all playing out of their minds when they got here.
Oh, yeah, dude, because you've seen some of those, at least at that time, those East Coast games where it looked like high school bleachers. I mean, there was like a couple hundred people at some of those Columbus Crew games, for instance. Not that that's the East Coast, but, and then you come to Seattle and it's like a professional pitch in a huge stadium with 60,000 fans going crazy. Yeah, that definitely affected the other teams.
Yeah. Man, that's a tough call because I didn't think about it on that level. I was just thinking about messing with Joe.
That's what I'm saying, man.
I will say this. Part of it, of scoring on Joe, which who knows if I'll do it again at any point this year, was just once he was on another team, we've been talking about it. Me, you, and Rowan have been talking about me scoring on him. So it's just kind of like, oh, like I actually did it.
It's a Cinderella story, baby. It'll never die. You have that goal forever. And for what it's worth, I would take Portland road game every time.
Oh, man. So we were talking about earlier, also the plight of the midlife athlete. Second game, all fired up, playing the toughest team in our four-team league. One guy goes in, I'm playing defense again. One guy goes in a little tough on a ball, just comes over the top of it. I mean, it's a fair play, but just spiked the hell out of me. Now, the weird thing is, though, he hits me, right? And he falls over, but I'm like, oh, I'm all right. and I take two touches on the ball and my team spreads out, and then the pain hits and I just stop, and you hear like the whistle. And I was like, oh, I got to get off the field. And you were asking before the cast, like, by the time I walked off the field and took off my socks, like, it was already swelling up. I was like, damn it.
Oh, yeah. Man. So it's like one of those instant hematomas. Those things hurt.
Yeah. Well, and I was laughing last night because it's Monday night. And I was like, there we go. You're in your 40s, still trying to be out there after a weekend of fun, be athletic. And now we're sitting here elevating and icing.
Well, yeah. And you were saying before the cast too, your personal trainer guy is always warning you, like, don't get hurt playing soccer. I don't want you missing workouts.
Always. And he's like, make sure you stretch. I'm like, yeah. And I'm like, yeah. And I am kind of a weird psycho about stretching and everything. But I was like, yeah, I never really thought about like just the actual like getting hurt playing like that, like something, somebody just kind of getting into you.
And then, Yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, I'll double down on his advice to stretch. I played a lot of indoor soccer in my 20s and outdoor actually for two teams. And a lot of the guys were over 30, and every guy, or the only people who didn't get hurt, were the guys who stretched and warmed up every game. And it's only three of them, three Croatian dudes. And they were the only ones. Every other guy over 30 got hurt. So I triple that advice.
Yeah. And like, look, when you're playing, you know, like I'm saying, my league is very low level. But even at that, sometimes, and I get it, it doesn't look cool going through all your stretches and doing your little sprints at half, you know, 15%, 30%, 50%. But it's like, you just, at our age, you just got to do it or you're going to tear something.
Preventative maintenance. It looks even less cool hobbling off the field after a tackle.
Yeah, I have a buddy. He brought his partner. And I want to say he had like been telling her for years, like, come play, come play. The first game or second game she played in, like, tore her Achilles. So I was like, ooh.
Literally, dude, classic. I told you when Ash tore his, classic.
but yeah, trying to be good. Now, tomorrow night, massive deal at Lumen Field. The Sounders are hosting Pumas from the Mexican League for the Champions League. The CONCACAF Champions League, basically it's a final. Because it was 2-2 down there. So whoever wins tomorrow, they've already sold 67,000 tickets for that game tomorrow.
Whoa. That's going to be sick, man.
Yeah, I mean, that's almost a full stadium. You're talking like a football crowd at that point.
That's going to be cool. It'll be a good, like, mixed crowd too, you know?
Yeah. Well, and to Puma's credit, they sold all their lot of tickets, so they'll have people there. Plus, I mean, I get it. Like, if I'm from Mexico and there's a Mexican team playing an MLS team, like, I'm going to go cheer for the Mexican club.
Yeah, especially like in the final. Yeah, exactly. Like, and in the final, like, I feel like there's a lot of Mexican people in Washington in general. Like, that's going to be rad.
Yeah, it is kind of funny. Till I moved to the West Coast, I didn't realize, like, the West Coast is almost all Mexicans. Like, when I first moved here and everybody would say Mexican, I was like, I think you mean Hispanic, dude. Don't be racist. Because, like, D.C., you get a lot of Guatemalans, El Salvadorians, like, mm-hmm. Just a lot more like Latino. And then I was like, oh, wait. And when I moved to the West Coast, I was like, yeah, even when you go to small towns like Stanwood, like, they have a good Mexican restaurant. There's actually a lot of like Mexican people here.
Yeah, totally. It's like in Texas, I think they were saying like Mexican people almost outnumber white people now. And like, yeah, I feel like the West Coast, just solid Mexican population, fun. I feel like that's just a fun culture, you know, like their car culture is really big down here and stuff. But yeah, I don't know. I've always just loved the Mexican people. Cool people.
And have you guys seen Marshawn Lynch doing commercials? You guys haven't, because you're not up here. So he's been doing stuff for the Sounders. And like, he's like, it is a big fucking deal. Like, we're doing this because Garth, the GM, he said that. So I love that. That's like the quote going around. Like, this cup is a big fucking deal. Just keep writing, Matt. So Marshawn's involved. Now I need your guys' opinion. Am I being like a bad ex-boyfriend with Russell Wilson, who is a part owner of the Seattle Sounders FC, but he hasn't tweeted one thing about it?
Man, I feel like
it's also tough because he's in Denver. So he's got to be Mr. Denver. But I'm like, I don't know. Cobb, Matt, I wanted your thoughts on this because I was kind of pissy. And then I was like, well, I guess business-wise, it doesn't make a ton of sense for him, but...
Okay, well, I'll start this by saying the email I'm staring at, the title is "Russ is a joke bitch" from one of our listeners. I don't think I read that one out, you know, on the cast. But I feel like this is the problem when you give like, you know, ownership to somebody who's just like a celebrity, but kind of like a fair weather fan. Like, they were like, oh, Russ is going to be here forever, whatever. Like, honestly, I don't think he cares about the Sounders. I think they offered him a good deal to do some PR, whatever. He took it. And now he's gone. So I feel like you're not being a bad ex-girlfriend. I'm over Russell Wilson. We're Pete Carroll guys on this cast. I say, take the ownership back. Not only should he not be tweeting, he should give the ownership back.
Matt?
Well, I mean, I think the Sounders have to be one of the best MLS clubs to be financially involved with. So, I mean, it's probably still a good business thing. And it makes sense that he's not doing it after the trade and, you know, tweeting about it or whatever. But it's a fun thing to be pissy about if you live in Seattle and like the Sounders and the Hawks. So, like, yeah, fuck that guy. But
wow, Matt, you know, he is bigger than he looks on TV. Also, he used to be a customer of ours, and you know, he is not a small or unathletic man. Just be careful. I speak from experience with Juicy J. That's all I'm saying.
I was about to say, says the guy that called out a UFC fighter.
Like, bro, people listen to this and just, you know, just don't throw stuff out that you're not willing to back up. I feel like, yeah, I'm the king of that, and just don't get in that habit. That's all I'm saying.
A Bible verse about forgiveness, Adam.
Man, Matt's spitting 7 different kinds of smoke now that he's down in Palm Springs. I like this new energy, Matt, but it's gonna write a check that your body can't cash.
I've watched the draft. I'm excited about our new crop. You know, I'm living in the now, baby.
Dude, I know, right?
I'm living for today.
Right.
I could die of corona tomorrow.
The last year and a half, I've been like, we got to get rid of Pete. Like, we got to keep Russell. And then after the draft, I was like, you know what? Maybe Pete and Snyder know what they're doing. Like,
put it back.
Like, Pete's always been the magic. I've been saying it.
Right? I'm like, I'm a Pete guy now.
Dude, here's the thing about Pete that I would like to, other than the fountain of youth, unlimited energy, he is a bargain shopper. He pulls guys that people think are done, and he shines those little rocks into diamonds. And that's what I like about him, is he gets value for his, you know, hit the cap and whatever. Like, he finds diamonds in the rough. Like, even that guy who ate his way out of the league, that receiver, like, and you know, when he had like Percy Harvin for a second, they're like, he's always scratching, trying to get a little more value. So that's what I like about him. And I'm happy with our decision.
Yeah. Also, like, honestly, as a Seahawks fan, I was just pumped that like we drafted offensive linemen and like an edge. I was like, look, like people were like surprised, like, oh, wait a minute, the Seahawks just drafted who they probably should draft.
Yeah.
Yeah. Seriously.
Yeah. The Russell thing's just weird too. Is like Marshawn Lynch comes back. He's part of the Kraken ownership now, but also Marshawn was kind of done, played for a couple years with the Raiders, where it's like Russ was like the entire team and then left at his prime.
Oh, I didn't know Marshawn was part of the Kraken ownership. Doesn't he live down in California, or is he like a Seattle guy now?
I mean, he's still I don't know if he lives in Oakland. I know he lives in California, but yeah, I mean, he has an affinity for the city. Like, his shop's up here, and like his pop-up shop would be up here, and like he's still invested, which I think is cool. And I think athletes can get away with both in different sports, right? TJ Oshie, who plays for the Capitals in hockey, but he's from the Northwest. So I don't know that people in D.C. would give him a hard time for being a Seahawks fan, because it's different sports.
Yeah, and honestly, as far as sports business magnates go, one of my favorite things in Utah, wherever you drive around Park City, Salt Lake City, Carl Malone ATV, Carl Malone Jeep dealership, and every sign it says, the mailman delivers. And it's got Carl Malone shooting a jumper. It's just like 20 little dealerships of random stuff. It's awesome.
Right. Well, I mean, look at Peyton Manning, right? Like, he probably already went into the Hall of Fame. I don't know if he went in as a Colt or a Bronco, but like he owns a bunch of, or used to own like Papa John's and other franchises in Denver. So it's like, I think he could be a part of both areas. Plus it helps when you bring a championship to both teams.
Yeah, that's true. And he, I feel like, is one of the most recognizable faces in sports. I mean, he's in so many commercials and whatever, you know,
Yeah, I mean, yeah, Peyton Manning also, I just love what he did after he retired. It's like him and his brother do like that Manning cast, like during Monday Night Football. But I like Peyton Manning's like, oh no, I'm not doing it every week. Like, I kind of like picking and choosing when I'm involved.
That's tight.
Yeah. And people like him more too. Like, when, like, think about how much venom people have for Joe Buck. Joe Buck's like, dude, I'm calling a game.
Like, yeah, seriously. Right? Even honestly, like, now obviously he's remembered as a legend, but I remember even like when Madden was announcing, like, a lot of people really hated games when Madden would, you know, do the announcements. So I get it.
Yeah, and it's just tough, right? Like, announcers or play-by-play guys get older. I don't know. I mean, it's like Keith Jackson, right? To me, Keith Jackson was the voice of, like, college football. And I remember being, like, I think I was a kid or, like, a teenager when he was, like, just doing Pac-12 games because he's from out here. And he was like, well, that sucks. I love Keith Jackson. But, like, now that I'm older, I'm like, oh, I totally get it. Like, why? Much better to just travel up and down one coast instead of going coast to coast.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, let's take a little break here. We'll come back with some emails. What's Mattin in the Cobb topic? All right. Thank you to our sponsors. Again, without you guys, we're nothing. And I guess we're still hating on Brown University. Cobb, can you count all the emails? Are you going to be okay reading them all?
Dead. We're Harvard guys. Everyone who listens to this podcast knows that. We wouldn't even deal with Brown. Even if they let us in, I wouldn't go.
All right, real quick, nerdy Boston question, right? We've talked about Somerville, right? Did you ever hang out there when you went to college?
No, but I mean, I'm familiar with Somerville.
So if people don't know, Somerville is just like the next neighborhood next door to Cambridge where Harvard is.
There's no E or R. It's Somerville.
Somerville. So, I was having a beer with the goalie that I score on at Will. And the guy next to us was like, yeah, I went to Harvard. I'm like, man, you know Redbones in Somerville? And he's like, I do. And he's like, but it's only people out here that ask me about it. And I was like, oh, my cousin lived in, I don't know how to say it properly, Somerville. And he's like, he goes, it's weird. Nobody up there thinks of it as like a great spot to go. Or it's a barbecue joint, right, in Boston. He's like, but everybody on the West Coast that goes somehow ends up in Redbones. Like, Redbones is legend.
Dang, I feel like you're usually on the opposite. Like, that sucks that he called you out for, like, being like everyone else. I feel like you have a weird affinity for, like, knowing people's local dive bar. They're like, oh, yeah, I'm from, like, this little kind of neighborhood outside of Marysville. You've never heard of it. And you're like, do you go to the Bennigan's on 47th? Or whatever it is, you know?
Well, he was impressed that I knew Redbones, period. I mean, like, my cousin Pat, right, from Smith Family Popcorn, like, he doesn't even drink anymore. But back in the day when he lived in that neighborhood, you could go to Redbones later in the night and they would just have plates underneath the warmers that were kind of the leftover barbecue. And they'd be like, we'll take a plate of meat, beers, and shots. But you never knew, like, is it going to be ribs? Is it going to be brisket? I don't know. Just send it.
Dude, I just realized this is unimportant, but to continue to fuel the rivalry. So Smith Family Popcorn is good people, great popcorn, right?
Yep.
That's okay. And ours is get the good stuff. Pretty close.
Cobb, you will appreciate this. So the first week, Rowan was there and he was handing out popcorn to people.
The first game you're talking about for the Pub League?
For Pub League, yeah. Yep. The second week, like our team were like, hey, man, when I got home, like, that popcorn's really good. I was like, oh, yeah. Like, they're my friends, but it's also a really good product.
That's what we do. He, you know, what actually made me laugh is for people who don't know, so Ted's league, right, meets on Sundays. It's like four teams, you know, and it's I would say the teams are relegated. Is that accurate?
Oh, yeah, because there's Classic and Premier. I play in Classic, not Premier.
Yeah. Yeah, so this is the teams who've been relegated. They don't get a lot of love, but as, you know, a team owner, we like to show out. So anyway, my buddy Rowan showed up with popcorn, and he said everyone in the league was, like, blown away that the sponsor brought anything. And it's like, that right there is the power of Ted Smith.
It is.
That's hilarious to me, dude. Honestly, I talk about being a team owner so much now. Like Rowan and I on 80% of our work-related calls, it will come up. We love owning the team, but we decided that like we decided we want I shouldn't tell you because I don't want this to disincentivize you, but our plan is to sponsor a team at least until we get hardware, no matter how long it takes. Yep.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Or until Smith dies on the field.
Well, that almost happened on Sunday.
All right. You ready for this email, boys?
Also, just to give people to listen to our podcast, a little inside knowledge too. Like, I don't know if there's anything more fun than Cobb and Rowan being my team owner now. Like, every time we text, there's something about ownership and hardware.
And I loved when we met up at the bar. You're like, I'm meeting with ownership tonight.
Yeah, seriously. I was like, are they going to release me? Like, what is going on, man? Like, I'm not even asking for a new contract.
What's up to the greatest podcast in all the land?
All the land.
First things first, I talk to every close friend I have who hails from somewhere outside the Pacific Northwest, and they all agree. Washingtonians, definitely tartar harder than any other region. Dude, you're right. Somebody else brought this up to me. Yes, dude, 100%. Which is crazy because growing up out here, tartar sauce was basically a staple at any burger joint. You get ketchup and you get tartar. Huh, weird. Anyways, onto the Cobb topic. Dude, first of all, Alfie, yes, you're right. I was talking with my mom about this and our tartar game is above and beyond anyone else, but I have no idea why. Do you guys have any inkling on that?
I honestly don't know. Like on the East Coast, putting vinegar on our French fries, I get it's just because we're close enough to like England and Ireland, and like vinegar on chips is chips as they call them is like a common thing. But like I said, tartar sauce was just for like a fried fish sandwich, and like it's rare that you put it on anything else. But yeah, I moved out here and I was just like, holy crap. People are just using tartar left and right.
I wonder if it's a Nordic thing. I wonder, because there's a lot of, you know, the people who settled Seattle, a lot of them were, you know, I don't know, from Norway, Sweden, Denmark, whatever. So it could be like a Scandinavian thing.
I mean, it could be, because like the Dutch are huge on like mayonnaise on their fries.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Anyways, on to the Cobb topic. In my hometown of Cedro Woolley, we have this thing called... We have this thing called the Lager Rodeo. And just as a quick aside, being from Washington, Cedro Woolley is known. I mean, like it is legendary for one thing and one thing only. So this is like a farm town. It's kind of out. It's north of Seattle, sort of out like in this big farm valley. And they are known for being the best wrestlers in the state, bar none. Top. Literally multiple state champions every year. And I have no idea why. It's just like, cause well, we're like, you know, doing homework. They're out there bucking hay bales or something, but like just ridiculously inhumanly strong. And it's all those like big country boys up north. Anyway. Okay. So that's why this makes me laugh that in my hometown of Cedro Woolley, we have this thing called the Lager Rodeo, which is essentially a week-long party consisting of chainsaw carving contests, a massive parade, a carnival, various logging competitions, and various rodeo-style shenanigans. But one of the biggest draws amongst them all is the lawnmower races. Yep, you read that right. Lawnmower races. And these aren't your typical John Deere's or Kubota's. These are heavily souped-up, smaller riding lawnmowers that can burn. So in my hometown, during the summer months, it's completely normal to see big old country folk mobbing around town on these heavily modified racing mowers, something that anywhere else would be seen as incredibly weird.
That's pretty good.
Oh, and real quick, Matt, I hope the COVID didn't hit you too hard this past week. And when I caught it, I was down for about 10 days or so. Much love, fellas. Alfie,
one of the originals.
Yeah.
He always sends a great, he always breaks us off with a great email, like about once a quarter, I feel like.
Just for the record, when it comes to mowers, it's one of my first jobs being a landscaper. I used to run a 36 and a 48 inch deck Skag, professional grade.
Oh, what is deck the size of the blades? What's the deck? I've always heard that term.
Yeah. Like as wide as it is, how far it'll, like how many inches across it'll mow.
Oh, okay.
Let me give you some more inside knowledge. You ever seen like, so those big mowers you put in gear, right? Like 1 through 5.
Yep.
So one, you walk them behind. Like I was always a 3, maybe a 4, but they just go. And the way you turn them is by braking. So if you brake left, right, it'll turn that way. If you brake right. But the thing on the back is called a Velky. So you attach that and it's got that one wheel and you can just stand on it and just cruise.
Oh, I see what you're talking about.
Yeah, I'm sure you've seen like professional landscaping companies with those dudes on that. But yeah, that's the mowers. Once you put it in gear, those things just keep going, which is also why they're kind of dangerous and like normal people don't have them.
Yeah, that's super dangerous. I love it.
Oh, man. All right. Well, let's check in with What's Matt.
Hey, what's good? What's Matt?
Before we get to What's Matt, check out with What's Mattening.
All right. Well, thanks for the concern, Alfie. Yeah, as I alluded to earlier, didn't get me too bad. It was pretty chill. You know, watched some TV and Joe List just put out a new special on YouTube. That was really funny. He's one of my favorite comedians. And so that timed out pretty well. And Cobb, I texted you about it because you just like weird. This documentary got so just like weird and almost like kind of, I mean, it was just kind
easy.
Of
easy.
I'm not going to say too much. It was about The Price is Right and the guy that was like really, really good at it. And basically, it would have been a good 20-minute YouTube special documentary. I watched the whole 85 or whatever on Netflix and was like, yeah, I mean, there's a cool story in there. But like, we're just married to this 90-minute benchmark. And, you know, it was unnecessary a bit, but it was pretty fun. So I enjoyed because it just felt very meta because like I used to always watch The Price is Right when I was homesick. And so now as a grown up, I'm watching a documentary about the guy who like he figured out he had an index and a spreadsheet by the time it was done. And he would go to the tapings and like call it out and get to know people in line so that they would look at him. And he was like a machine. They have a term for it, but it was just like, yeah, there's no other situation where I would care about this much, but I'm homesick. I used to watch Price is Right. So why the hell not? And yeah, that was definitely an interesting one. But yeah, I texted you like at the half hour mark while I was still interested, Cobb. And then it just went downhill from there. So I wanted to kind of, I asked if you watched it. I didn't recommend it. If you go back in the text, it was a question mark there.
Yeah. So, he's like the Ken, the Jeopardy robot of Price is Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
But Price is Right. You only get to be on for a day, right?
You know, you don't get to keep winning and stay on, but you can go to as many tapings as you want and get randomly selected. And he knows a lot about how much things cost.
All right. And Matt, I agree 100%. Like as a kid, you stayed home sick. Like watching The Price is Right was like the highlight. It came on at like 11 where I grew up.
Like I said, they lost me with the story, but I think I just left it on because it still had Price is Right footage. Now it's still sick. And it's just like, this is what I do.
You know, man, have your pets spayed or neutered. Come on.
Yeah. Yeah. they talked about that. And Bob Barker is in the movie. And Bob Barker was like, when we knew someone else was coming in, I had thought, do I want them to continue the message? I'd like them to continue the message, but I don't want to tell them to do that. I met Drew, and the first thing he said to me is, Mr. Barker, it's an honor. I'm going to continue telling people to spay and neuter their pets. He was like, so I like Drew right from the get-go. it was fun to watch. And then
one of the original cool celebrity owners of the Seattle Sounders FC.
Is he still part of one of the owners?
Bob Barker was?
No, Drew Carey.
Oh, yeah. I was like, dude, that just threw me. I was like, Bob Barker, Jesus.
I mean, Drew Carey, he's been a soccer nerd for decades. So when the Sounders showed up, I think that was just the first time he could hop in on one.
I was going to say, he owned the team before he got Prices Right, I think.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
yeah. I think he was already a part owner, yeah, before Prices Right.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's like I said, not recommending it. I'm just updating you guys on what I did while I was sick. I reflected a lot because I also was on Google Photos, was like, dude, 2 years ago, you were in Cobb's Popcorn Shop, when the world was shut down, busting out some orders, you know, and that was the wildest time, man. Like, Pike Place was just empty for like days. But we were there, and I mean, that was just like, I kept thinking of, I was so stoked that like I got that memory, because it was just like, man, that was such a wild time, right? And to have a reason to go to this iconic place, and you know, when no one else, and I was just like, man, I'll never see the market like that again. Like, what else would happen that would, I don't know that a pandemic would shut the world down like that again. People, you know, the way this whole thing went, it was just like this insane. So I was really grateful for that. But it was also like, that was when I was still terrified of COVID. And by the time I got it, you know, 2 years later, I felt like it's been a pretty good 2 years. And, you know, I didn't get it that bad. I don't think it was too bad at all. I was more inconvenienced that I had to miss work for 3 extra days. But so, you know, it was just kind of this like full circle timing thing when I saw those pictures, because that was like peak early pandemic to me. Like Memento Mori by Lamb of God was going out. I was just jumping into the lake every single morning and just like doing Wim Hof method like an insane person, because I had all this time. And it was like, yeah, it was fun. So thanks, Cobb. Love you too, Rowan. I just want to be good with ownership. I'm not even on the team, but now that my friends also own a sports team, they're not sponsors, they own it. I think it's really cool to just remind them that, like, hey, I was there, you know, at the ground level, some might say.
Indeed.
Yeah. So,
I mean, yeah, you know what? I whatever. Not, I will say, in that popcorn shop with three dudes was probably one of the riskiest balloon rescue missions I've ever been a part of. But we got it done. Nobody got hurt.
A balloon got up to that ceiling?
It did. You know, there's a couple guys, man, holding the ladder. Smallest guy, get up there. Oh, man. All right. Well, I guess it's about that time.
Boop, doop, doop, boop, boop. Cobb topic.
Cobb topic.
So, Matt, real quick, as a quick aside, in terms of the Wim Hof method and jumping in cold water, the range for male testosterone is from about 77. Anything below that is pretty dangerous, to about 827. Anything above that is in the red zone, considered dangerous. That's NG per DL, so deciliter, nanograms per deciliter, probably. So I've been jumping in the pool at our place. They don't heat it. They just bought a new heater, so it's going to be heated, but it's been cold. Been jumping in there for like 2.5-3 months. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to go get my blood work done and see what my testosterone is. That freaking, dude, that thing works. It spiked my testosterone to 795.
Oh,
literally like 20 points short of the danger zone as a 35-year-old male. That's like the 21-year-old zone. Like, that's what you should be at like 21. So anyway, living strong, baby.
That's great.
Yeah.
Did you have a previous marker?
No, I didn't. But I knew that you can feel when your testosterone is low. I mean, I've had a pretty good sense of my body. And like around the end of December, usually that's when all of our stress is and not eating healthy and stuff around, you know, because we're making popcorn like crazy in November and December. And so I could feel that it was low. I don't know how low it started, but she's high now. And that's after only like 5 weeks of doing the cold plunges every day too.
Oh, yeah.
Just random question, is I've never had it tested outside of a doctor's office. Like, can you just test it at home?
You may be able to. I didn't test it at home. What I did is now they've sort of separated the business of testing from, you know, doctor's offices were charging a lot and a lot of people wanted to know on their own. So I just looked up online. I went into a local clinic. They just took a bunch of blood and then they send it to a company in Arizona and they send back all your results. So honestly, I think it was under $100 and they sent me everything. I did cardiovascular health, inflammation, endocrine health, metabolic, thyroid, diabetes, insulin resistance. I had like 20 other things, liver health, kidney and urine, toxicology, everything, you know, yeah, it's pretty interesting. So anyway, consider it, but also consider that cold plunge, but yeah, wear a condom.
For me, I just think about getting everything tested with like the yearly physical.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that probably covers you. Okay, cop topic. Did I just lose it? I had it written down. I was pumped on this one. Oh, don't do this to me. Wow. God. Especially when you're prepared. I tried to go off about testosterone and search my results as fast as I could. Now here we are. Oh, okay.
Yeah, there you go. You're on it.
We're back. So, obviously there's like, you know, there's been the whole like war with Russia and Ukraine going on, the inflation. I'm, you know, going up to Seattle for my grandmother's funeral. There's always a lot of negativity, especially around this type of year. I'm just curious. We've kind of done something like this before, but what good thing is going on in your life? Like what's something that just like, you're like, oh, like that actually kind of worked out. It's pretty good. So anyway, feel free to email us literally the word email at the podcast with two E's. .com. We'll read it on the show. Pretty exciting. But yeah, what like good little thing is going on in your life? It could be good. It could be big or little, really. Boys?
Well, I mean, first of all, scoring on the mayor.
Yeah, that's huge. That's lifelong.
Just to let all my friends know that know both him and I.
Well, and dude, you said there's a video. Is that true?
There's still photos. The dude was, he hadn't shown up in, I think he'd been out there in a couple of years to take photos. So right, like, again, I scored with like 2 minutes left and I go, tell me you got a photo. And there is a photo of like Joe, like turned looking at the goal and the ball just like when the net's like extended.
Oh my God. That's the t-shirt. That's the t-shirt, boys. Wow.
So like he's like, dude, I'm working through them because he was there for Classic and Premier. He's like, I took 400 photos. Just give me time to put them out. I'm like, all right. But like, I got to have that photo.
Dude, and for people who don't know, this guy, the mayor, his son works at our popcorn shop. So I would love to put a blown up photo of that up in the shop. Just, I wish it had our logo in it. That's the only thing. I wish there was a smiling Ted Smith. So I'd be like, hey, look, company logo. We scored a goal. You know, it has nothing to do with your old man getting just juiced.
I mean, look, and the other thing too is, again, people need to remember this is a 7v7 league. Like, there's no tackling. You can't toe poke from behind. But the one thing I've learned is you're going to strike a ball, like, kind of like hitting a baseball. Like, keep your head down. And, like, so, I mean, I barely saw it go in. And I'm just like, oh, nice. There's actual photo of it, like banging through. Like, the guy that took the photo was like, don't worry. I got your banger of a goal. I'll post it.
That's honestly amazing.
I have Matt, trust me, it was that much fun. Then I got hurt. I mean, I've been limping around for 2 days, so I'm like, well, at least I scored on that jackass.
So part two of your answer is pending photo evidence of scoring on Joe.
Oh man. How about you, Mateus?
Damn, that's so good. I got a lot of good stuff going on in my life. I was thinking about it all because I was I'm really excited because Cobb, you're also a fan of Gary Vaynerchuk, right?
Yeah, I'm pro Gary Vaynerchuk. I don't consume a lot of his content, but I'm a fan of anybody who's put out positive stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. So I had a bigger Gary V phase back in the day, and you kind of, you know, he comes on strong, you get it, you get sucked into it, and I just kind of
hustle.
And he got too big also. Like, I don't like when stuff gets popular, You know, I liked him before he was cool. Like I'm the classic like hipster on that thing. And it's like, he got a little too hot. He got a little too much heat for me. So I kind of cooled off on him. But he just put out a new book called 12 and a half. And I was listening to the audiobook today, and it's basically all this like business advice, but through these like 12 and a half traits that you should possess if you want to be successful. And there are things like gratitude, self-awareness, tenacity, and just like good kind of intangibles. But the first chapter was all about gratitude. So I was just like thinking about all the stuff I was grateful for. And then I had to make a right turn. So I got into the right turn lane. And there's another car in front of me with their right hand signal on. And then they came to a complete stop. And I was ready to murder that. I was just like, not now, Gary. And then I drove around him. Everything's 50 miles an hour down here, every street, Cobb. You can't be doing stuff like that.
A lot of old people, though.
He wasn't that old, as it turns out. So then I make the turn. He still makes a right turn after, and then I had to make a left. So then I'm like, all right, back to what Gary's saying about the gratitude. I'm thinking about all the things. I'm looking at the palm trees, the mountains. And then he drove by, and I was just back to just being an insane road rage maniac. And it was, you know, it was an interesting moment. And then chapter two is about self-awareness. So it segued right into it for me. But I would definitely recommend Gary Vee's new book, 12 and a half. I think it's filled with he's trying to amplify positivity, make it louder. It's exactly like it's exactly meant to be kind of an antidote to exactly what you were talking about, Cobb, of the negativity. I don't think it's business specific. But I think, you know, he kind of wrapped up some cool philosophical, almost self-helpy concepts through a way of how it can help your business success as well. And the way he delivers it on the audiobook, he has a lot of enthusiasm. He goes on like little tangents and side rants. And yeah, it's really cool. So I'm really stoked to have stumbled onto that today.
Nice.
Yeah. Actually, I wrote that down. I was like, that sounds like a good
book. 12 and a half.
Yeah. Also, I got to admit, like, it's easy when you don't drive or own a car to be like, man, people got to calm down with road rage. But I was in that car rented for not even 10 minutes. And like, people kept blocking me, like making lefts and blocking Denny. And like the second dude, I was like, you're not going to make this. And I just laid on the horn for an entire cycle. So it's like, I hear you, man. Like, I mean, like when people are in your car, like it's so easy to get annoyed. It's like, damn it. Calm down, take a breath. I was just like, come on, dude. You know there's no chance you're getting through that light.
Ted, I gotta say, honestly, you're one of the biggest Seattle fans, one of the most Seattle Pride people I know. And I feel like you have more ownership of this city than most people I know who grew up here. But that is such an East Coast transplant move to like the honk, the polite honk would be a Pacific Northwest move. The lay on your horn and just like let it run. East Coast classic right there. Instant classic. You like reverted to being your dad in that moment. I just want you to know that.
Oh, 100%. And like, it's just him in the car and he's just sitting there like you're not even going to look right.
Yeah.
Like,
so don't you look at me.
Like, what do you want me to do? I don't know what I had done. If I would have rolled down my window and be like, well, don't get in the goddamn lane.
God, Ted, Teddy boy, man. You love to see it. You love to see it.
And then literally I'm on my way to breakfast with my mom and my sister and my old, you know, Ben we used to work with and his wife. And as soon as we sit there, he goes, oh, I know that version of you. He goes, when I went to the beach with you, we weren't on the ground. Like, he's like, we got one dude made a bad traffic move and you're out the window. Like, get the F out of the way, dude. What the hell?
That's funny.
All right. I know. I was just saying, happens quick, right? Just, I'm going to lay on the horn. I bet you think I'm going to stop. Nope. I don't care. It's a rental car. I paid for the insurance. All right. We'll be back next week. I don't really have anything to pimp. I don't know. I'd say this. If you're playing in a low-level soccer league, maybe go easy on the fouls. I don't know. That's just me. All right. For MCTV, for Cobb, I'm the Ted Smith. And this is the podcast. Cheers.
Get smoother, brighter skin instantly in one easy step. Dermalogica's Daily Microfoliant gives you the smooth, glowy skin you want without damaging your skin barrier. This gentle exfoliating powder activates with water to smooth out rough texture and brighten skin. It's powerful enough to deliver results, yet gentle enough to use every single day, even on sensitive skin. See the results for yourself. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at cart for an exclusive free gift with $65 purchase.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.